Today on our program, we are visiting with Michaela Kienitz. Michaela is the CEO at the Boone County Hospital. And Michaela, thanks for taking time to visit with us.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
I know this is the first time you haven't had one of your administrative team. So we got a lot of fun things to visit about, don't we?
Absolutely. I'm getting a lot more comfortable with being recorded for the radio. So,
and I'm guessing, you already knew what the business was like when you came in. So 3-4 months now, really, or 5 months, have completed about 5 months now into being here in Boone. And, of course, getting to know the staff and everything else. So things coming together pretty good. Do you like how things are going?
Yeah, I think things are going really well. I have been out in the community quite a bit and feel very accepted by everyone that I've met. And everybody has really positive things to say about the hospital. So I think I'm getting acclimated really well. You know, I've been really lucky to have such a good transition with a great senior team. Even though Joe Devin retired at the end of April, it has been a really good start to my career there.
Well, you were able to get Carl Willems come in, and coming from Broadlawns, obviously much larger facility, but he easily hit the ground running. He knows all about what's happening and stuff. I guess yeah. All finance officers have some different priorities the way they look at things. So part of it is, does he fit what you're looking for?
Yeah, I think Carl and I have very similar visions, and he does a really good job of trying to support my vision for the organization, but he absolutely hit the ground running. He's done some really amazing things since he started. You know, we've gotten started on our budget for next year and just doing a lot of assessing of where things are at and where we really want things to be in the next, you know, year, 2 years, 5 years, kind of discussions with him. So he brings some really amazing experience, and he's done a really nice job for me so far.
Well, I know one of the things you like to, and you told the board this too, one of the things you like to present to them and let them know is you like to tell them about wins, the positive news, the positive things.
Yeah, I think it's really important to celebrate wins when they happen. You know, in healthcare, we're sort of trained to focus on what's wrong with someone or what's causing an issue. And so it's really important for us to sort of change our look at things and just make sure that we're really focusing on the things that are going good and make sure to point out some of those things. I think the board members in particular like to hear those things because they're not there every day seeing the amazing things that we're doing and the way that our staff are changing the lives of patients. And so it's really nice when we get that feedback to share that with them. And sometimes it is about a patient and patient care and a patient saying, hey, my experience at the hospital was amazing, and letting them know that. And sometimes it is, you know, when we've had within the senior team or progress that we're making on towards a goal that we had or something like that. So just really sharing those wins and focusing on those is really important at a board level. I also really like to share those with staff. So in every communication that I have with staff, I try to point out the things that are going good, the things that, you know, we are focusing on changing or in connecting the dots as to why we're making those changes for the good. So it's really important, I think, to look at wins.
One of those things, when I think about it, because right away, mostly when people come to the hospital, it is probably not their best day. And the big thing is, you know, when it gets all said and done, do they appreciate what they got?
Exactly. I mean, I think most people, when they come to the hospital, whether it be through the clinic or the ER or just an outpatient service, they're probably having, you know, one of their harder days. And so it's really our job to make sure to make that experience for them a positive one. And we do a lot of work to try to decrease anxiety during those times for patients, because it is very anxiety provoking. They're not used to healthcare. They're not really used to what's going to be happening. It can cause a lot of fear for people. Maybe they're awaiting a result for the possibility of, you know, maybe a negative outcome. And so we try really hard to make sure to comfort them and make sure that the experience is as good as it can be for them, and that they are you know, understanding what's happening, why it's happening, and those kind of things. So it's really important just to help decrease some of that anxiety for patients when they're there.
Let's talk a little bit on the financial side. I know, again, that's why you have Carl there. We started the year, basically we're getting pretty close to the end of our fiscal year. So,
yeah.
Again, we've been moving along pretty well. We've had the one things I've noticed was that we were doing so-so on inpatient. Outpatient, that's really, really been a positive side. Slowed down a little bit here in the last month or two, but once again, we know the busy summer season's coming.
Yeah, I think when we look at volumes, we saw April tapered off a little bit in some of our clinic volumes and things, and a lot of those outpatient services are driven by those clinic visits. So we did see some of the volumes drop as far as clinic visits, but outpatient has picked up throughout the year. It looks like we've seen about a 1% increase in outpatient, you know, from last year, and inpatient has dropped off pretty dramatically, and I think a lot of that is happening across healthcare, and I think a lot of that is driven by insurance companies and attempting to get as much care done on the outpatient side as possible. And so we talk about observation patients, and while they feel like they're an inpatient, they're staying in the hospital, they're actually considered at an outpatient level of care. And so I think insurance is really, and Medicare, you know, they're really working to drive some of those costs, those inpatient costs down. And so that's affecting healthcare across the board, I think, and a lot of people are seeing their census has sort of decreased as time goes on. But you're right that, you know, the summertime can generally be a time, spring into summer can generally see a drop off from winter, because winter's generally very busy with cold and flu kind of illnesses and things like that. But, you know, as we get into summer here, we'll start seeing back to school stuff. We'll start getting quite a bit busier. And so, you know, it's been kind of interesting to watch those volumes sort of go up and down as the seasons change.
Well, I know that you know, you mentioned Medicare, so I got to ask, with I have no idea by the time people hear our program or not, about the debt, if the debt ceiling is going to be resolved or something. No matter what, it seems like because the hospital, like many hospitals, you have a dependence on Medicare reimbursement.
We do.
We're in a pretty good financial position right now that we can weather delays, but they need to get this taken care of.
Yeah, I think they do need to get it fixed. We do depend on Medicare quite a bit, with our cost reimbursement model is based on Medicare. So it's super important to us that Medicare stays strong, and that, you know, we work hard to meet the requirements. And those requirements do change frequently, like I said, they're switching from inpatient to outpatient and all those things, but we try our best to stay up to speed with those. And so they do need to make sure to resolve those things so that the hospitals, all the hospitals that rely on Medicare, which is the majority of us, you know, can be sustainable and can thrive and grow and be there for patients. And the point of critical access hospitals is to provide access to patients. And so Medicare is a huge player in that ability for patients to get to that care when they need it. It's not good for patients to have to travel a long distance, especially in an emergency situation. And so we need to do the things that it takes to keep our hospitals going.
Well, I know that there were a variety of different things that we had at the recent board meeting presented. Kim Schwartz did talk about some of this transparency. Again, CMS related, another one of those issues. It's part of the requirements that came out a while ago about being able to have cost for things. And I've always found that to be kind of interesting concept because, well, we should know what it's going to cost here in Boone to have this procedure done compared to what it's going to cost in Ames. I'm sorry, those numbers aren't going to be, I mean, they got different variables.
Yeah, it's a very challenging sort of a thing to attack, because when this first came out, you know, we were all looking at, it really depends on the patient. Each patient is an individual and they have different things going on. So I might need a hip replacement and you might need a hip replacement, but we may have very different comorbidities or other things going on with our care. I may need some additional lab work, those kind of things. So it's really hard to say, hey, as a total, here's what it's going to cost you. But I think that the thought behind it is valuable, in that people want to be able to compare pricing and choose where they want to get their services. But really, it is sort of like, I think Kim used the analogy, you know, you can't go buy a pair of shoes without knowing what you're going to pay for it. And so I think it's valuable for people to understand what their responsibility is going to be. You know, hospitals do have quite a bit of bad debt that we always try to collect, and a lot of that, sure, I think, could be resolved on the front end if we do work diligently to help people understand what piece they are going to owe for their services and those types of things. So there's good behind it, but it is very challenging to really tell you exactly what it's going to cost you. because, like I said, every person has a different situation that happens.
Well, I know one of the issues you had was CMS questioned what Boone County Hospital had up there. Yet you guys feel we've got all the information there. It's there. It's all available.
Yeah, I think that we feel like all the information is out on our website. We do have the files out there that they require us to have. It looks like they are trying to focus on this and compliance for this, and so they have used a computer program sort of to check everyone's. Oh. And I think that they probably sent those letters out en masse that kind of said, hey, we didn't see everything we needed to see on your stuff, but we really feel like everything that they've asked for is there. So they're doing a review of it, and I'm just waiting to hear back from them to make sure that, you know, they agree with us. But yeah, we understand what you're asking us to do, and we do have it out there for our patients to look at.
Let's hit on a couple other things here, because I did want to, I know that Carl did present some of the capital things, talking budget with the board. We do have some capital efforts that are underway. Well, you got a couple $1 million worth. But a big chunk of that is like $500,000 for ambulances, and they're in the budget. But we are looking at that MRI replacement, and you just don't wheel that in and out the door. So we've got some building work, construction that'll need to be done. We've got some major things that we're looking at.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about the ambulances a few times. So we do have that $560,000 in the capital budget for next year. Those hopefully will be done within the next 12-month time period, and we'll receive them. And so they don't bill us for those until we receive them. And then, yeah, we're looking at the MRI, which is a really large project. The actual MRI machine itself costs around $825,000. By the time you look at the pieces of equipment that go with it, the construction project that it requires, so we actually have to remove a wall of the hospital, an exterior wall, to get the magnet removed and then move the new magnet in. You're talking, you know, that's around $300,000 to do that. So it's really ends up being around a $1.2 or so million project. It's a really big undertaking, but you know, it's something that we have to do every few years. I think, you know, they last 8 to 10 years, something like that. And so it's really important because some of that technology has changed We want to make sure that we're able to provide the best, you know, care for people and the best, services. And so we have radiologists that come from McFarland, and they've given input on what machine they would like, and we're hoping to do some additional MRIs that we don't currently have the ability to do, and then we're hoping to add some capacity because this machine is quicker than the current machine, and so we'll be able to get a few more patients in for MRI than we have been able to. So there's value to doing it. It's just kind of a big undertaking with the construction project and whatnot that it requires.
As I recall, the last time we did this, the new model would handle larger patients and do it quicker, and now we got new technology. Here we go. Step it up some
exactly.
more. We got that. The helipad, I know the roof, that's always, those are ongoing things that typical infrastructure maintenance that's going to be needed.
Yeah, I put that master facility project on hold when I started, and I think that some of those things that were on the list for that original project, you know, the chillers, the roof, the parking lot, some of those things obviously still need to be done. And so we're trying to look at that list and really work with our engineering folks to say, hey, what is the biggest priority of the list? And so this year they said that they really felt like the helipad needs some work. And so we obviously use that in super critical situations. And so we need it to be in good shape. And so they put that in the budget this year. I'm trying to think what the other
Meditech.
Yes, we're doing an upgrade to our medical record, and so that will happen in the fall, and so that will start in the fall. We'll go live in next spring, so almost in a year from now we'll go live. But we have that in there. We're excited about that. Our clinic has been on that similar system that we're going to for a while, so it'll be nice to get the hospital on the same system so the two speak to each other a little bit better. So our staff are pretty excited about that.
I was going to say,
project.
I know the clinics are very excited. Not that we didn't have Meditech in both ones. It's just the newer version, getting them to mesh together and work together. This is going to be much more efficient. Things will look the same. So,
yeah, I think things will be the same. And some of the providers that work in both locations, it will be easier for them. And I think nursing staff, it will help a lot. And other clinical staff, it will help a lot when the two speak well to each other, so we can easily see and it looks the same whatever happened in the clinic when that patient then comes to the hospital for whatever services they may get there.
Sure. Quickly, I know physician recruitment, that's an ongoing effort. I know you've had people making contact, and that's a good thing. We like that. Again, we still are looking to have some people on board, fill a couple of positions, and I know there are pending retirements as it comes up every time.
Yeah, I am looking for right now 4 different providers. We're looking for 2 for the family practice clinic, hoping to put one at North and one at South potentially. And then we're looking for 2 providers to provide emergency room coverage for us. So we posted that position out on our own advertising instead of only with recruiters, and we have had some good contacts for the emergency room, so as well as the family practice clinic. So I think we have some really positive movement on those openings, and hopefully, you know, here within the next year, we'll have some new faces to share with the community.
All right. Tell everybody about Project Be the Light. Sarah told me a little bit about this last time. So Project Be the Light.
Project Be the Light is a... It's a big fundraising effort to support those that are diagnosed with cancer. And so those types of diagnoses are really devastating to people financially. And so we are partnering with, our foundation actually is partnering with the schools. We're partnering with the Relay for Life Salad Social group. We're partnering with the Boone Hope Foundation group that exists today. In order to raise funds and then, you know, help those people that are struggling to pay up to, the hope is that we can pay up to $5,000 for their bills, whether it be medical bills, utility bills, whatever the need is, as long as they can apply and let us know, yes, I truly do have a diagnosis of cancer, we will then pay directly to whatever, you know, bill or whatever thing they have, we'll pay directly until their $5,000 is exhausted. We did this program at Compass where I was previously, and it is amazing. It's an amazing way to bring the community together and rally around one cause. And I'm really excited to pull the Boone Community School District and Ogden and the Madrid School District to pull them all together so we can all focus on this one cause. So how it works with the schools is, you know, we will probably do some fundraising at each season. So football, there might be a purple out event, kind of like the breast cancer for the pink out event.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do purple because it represents all cancers and not just breast cancer. But we'll go to, you know, each season we'll do something at a basketball game and something at a baseball game and softball and swimming and whatever different types of sports there are. We'll do something there to try to raise money, whether it be a silent auction of a signed football by the football team or passing the bucket, various things, and then we'll take those funds and we'll use them to help people that reside in Boone County. You do not have to be patients of the Boone County Hospital.
We
want to help.
Dealing with cancer, right?
Yes, it's just dealing with cancer. We just want to help people in our communities who are struggling with that.
All right. Well, I know you're just really getting started on that. It's building, and we look forward to seeing and keeping track on just how that keeps progressing. So I know you're pretty excited.
Yeah, I think it's been really exciting as far as we had our first meeting, and our second one is planned in June. And I think that there's been, as people start hearing about it, people have been calling and contacting us to be involved. So I'm really excited to see it grow.
All righty. Michaela Keenan, CEO of the Boone County Hospital, has been a guest on our program today. Michaela, thanks so much. I know there's so much more we could visit about, but we'll wait till next time and do that. Thank you.
Sounds good, Jim. Thank you so much.